All right. Last week we talked about Revelation. Just to summarize it a little bit, I'm using that term very broadly. And I'm using it to mean any kind of communication God gives us, talks to us, from his word, prophecy, by his spirit and our spirit, witnessing it. I'm using it very broadly, but the fact is, we need that communication because otherwise it's just information. And the world can read things and gain information, but it doesn't mean it's revelation. We need God to show it to us. But there's an interesting thing we read last week in Hebrews 3 and 4. And it constantly said, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart as they did in the rebellion. The reason I set that support is because when you hear him through any means, you can have a reaction. We can harden our heart and say no. You can say something. He can promise things to people here in this room right now. And I've heard you say them many times. But we so many times choke on what God says. It seems so big, we choke on it. So we lose faith and we harden our heart. We need to keep a soft heart before God. Keep a soft heart before God, it leads to faith and obedience. So I'm going to talk about faith tonight, because we need to have faith before we have fire. And Stacy stole some of my scripture earlier in Hebrews chapter 11, the hall of faith. Because what I think so many times, we think faith and we say, okay, I need a healing. So I'm going to pray for God to heal me. So I'm believing him for this one thing. But as he read in Hebrews 11, he started seeing, you know, the walls of Jericho came down by faith. Sarah conceived and gave birth when she was way past childbirth age by faith. Because she judged God faithful. Goliath came down through the hand of David by faith. We are to live and walk and have our being by faith. It's not just something we do, it's something we live. I want to read in the Amplified Version, chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And it's a little different if you've never heard the Amplified, but it's an interesting way they put this to understand what I'm talking about. I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation from his wrath and punishment to everyone who believes in Christ our Savior, as Savior, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For the gospel, the righteousness of God is revealed, both springing from faith, leading to faith, discovering in a way the awakeness awakens more faith. As it is written, forever remains written, the just and upright shall live by faith. In Romans 12, it talks about that faith has been given a measure to us. So I'm not talking about a faith that's natural. If you read Mark 11:23, it's talking about the faith in God. It'll say there are many translations. You go and look in the Greek. It literally is of God. It's the faith of God. And the faith of God only comes when the revelation of God comes. Have you ever tried to believe something and it just doesn't work? Especially when it really matters. And you just wake, you know, stay up at night, you're worrying about it, you keep trying yourself, give it to God, it comes back, keeps coming. And it just never can quite keep it there. I wonder so many times it's because we're not meditating on his word concerning that subject. We might not have enough revelation on the inside of us. It's not big enough on the inside of us. We really, really need to understand that faith is not just something we use. It's something we live by. It's not just a tool that you go, well, I use a hammer and I use it for this purpose only. Faith is what you live by. It's like there's nothing you do that doesn't demand that you do it by faith. There are things. The Israelites went through the Red Sea by faith. Guess who couldn't go through the Red Sea? Pharaoh's army. Why could they not go through? Because they thought they could. They saw it there in front of them. And they went charging out to do it. And what happened? They drowned. They didn't have that kind of faith that I'm talking about. They didn't have the promise of God. We can do things that the world can't do because we live by faith. We don't live by wishful thinking or optimism. We live by faith. We do things by faith. And we're going to succeed because we are doing it by faith. We're not doing it because we're afraid something bad might happen. We're not going to do it maybe even because it's the right thing to do. We're going to do it because we believe God. And that is righteousness. Abraham believed God, and it was accredited to him as righteousness. Faith is a big deal. It is a huge deal. You don't get saved and you be born again except by faith and his grace that came through Jesus Christ. If you don't get it, faith is how you get everything in the kingdom. Faith looks at what's around you and goes, it doesn't mean a thing because my God is able. My God is able. My God is able. My God looks at what you call impossible and go, impossible goes down and doesn't get back up. Faith is a rest. It's ceasing from your own works. We need to strive after faith. We need to thirst after faith. When we hear God, we need to obey. We need to submit. We need to embrace it with everything there is because that's precious. Because if you've got a promise from God, and I know some of you do, and I know I've talked to people year after year, they'll say, this is something God promised. But so many times we're waiting for something to come in on us to happen when God's looking for us to believe. You know, when I read through the Gospels, you see what Jesus' interaction with people. And they'll come up and so many of them will say, if you're willing, I know you can make so-and-so healed or whole or delivered. And he would always say, I'm willing. But there's a time that somebody came up and said, if you're able. That was the time that Jesus kind of, that they got prickly at that point because he challenged whether God was able. And he turns around and says to the man, it's not if God is able. Is if you can believe. We have a God who is able. Problem is, we look too much at what's around us and not to him and who what he promised and who he is, because that requires faith. Peter steps out of the boat, the only one. Starts walking on the water. And he does real well until when?
He looks away from God.
He looks at the waves. What are the waves? Our troubles, our problems, the things around us. You start looking at how big they look, how great they look. And what happens? We start sinking. Jesus reaches out, grabs him, and picks him up out of the water and says, what to him? Why'd you doubt? God expects you to believe. He really has an expectation that we'll believe him. If he expects us to believe, that means we can. We can. We can trust him. We are created in a way that what we are to do is to live dependent on him. And that's not this thing where we are weak. That actually makes us strong. Because we have a covenant with him. A covenant. That means he gets all that is what we have. We get all what he got. We got a great deal.
Yes, we did.
He took away all our junk, took away our sin, took away our fear, took away our doubt, and we keep wanting to reclaim it. Because faith seems, to live by faith seems to be abnormal, but it's not an abnormal way to be. It just seems abnormal for the world. Because they walk by sight. And we walk by what?
Faith.
We walk by faith. That's the way God has designed us to do it, is to walk by faith. Jesus walked by faith. You think about it. Every time he fed the 4,000 and 5,000, they're out in the middle of nowhere. He declares what's going to happen. And then out of a child's lunch, he feeds 5,000 people. He was walking by faith. He doesn't ask us to do anything he didn't do. So tonight, my big thing is I want us to start focusing on walking by faith. Living by it. It's our breath. It's our food. It's everything to us. We need to guard our hearts. Because, you know, it says in Romans 10 that we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord to be saved. It's a confession. It's in us, and we say it. Because if you have the abundance of our heart, we're going to speak too. What are we putting in there? Are we putting the Word of God? Are we meditating on what He's told us? And just because He told us one piece, that doesn't mean we need to say, okay, I need to know more. So many times, I believe God gives us a nugget of something he wants to do. And he watches to see what his children will do with that one nugget. And if you pursue it, there's more coming. Faith produces faith. Romans 1, 6 through 17. And as we pursue what he puts out before us, faith grows and grows. So many times we don't take that step. We have the faith to go after that one thing, but we're thinking, we know there's something more. I don't know if I can do that. But if you don't take that first step, you're not going to have the faith to do the second one. Abraham, what did he do? God said, leave everything you know. Go away to where I'm going to take you. So he goes and gets everything he has and leaves, not knowing where he's going. He didn't even know what direction to go at the time. God showed him as he went. If you don't take what he shows you to do, you're not going to get the next step. It is amazing. If we start doing that, many of these things that we see that we've said God's going to do will start happening. Because as we approach faith, the next step and the next step, we find out that next step was a big one. This whole time we've been stepping up to a door that when we opened it, it was just all this stuff that we've been prophesying about. But because we're not willing to take the steps of faith that we have in front of us now, not knowing what's coming, whether I can handle the next, we don't ever get there. And Abraham is a very, very important person. He established so much. It all started with him. It takes faith. It means we've got to meditate on his word. That means we've got to get hit on the inside of us. Faith, what is it? Just to kind of give a little bit of a background, and that word faith is, in the Greek, is pistis, P-I-S-T-I-S. And according to the Thayer's Greek lexicon, it means to be have a conviction. It's a belief. It has this idea of trust or confidence. You know, a lot of times we don't have a direct word from God about something. You know, you're getting up tomorrow morning and you're going, well, I don't have a how to handle this or that. You know, there's something to just believing God based on his whole character. We know who he is. Because of who he is, we know that we're going to have everything we need that day. Because he promised we would. Whatever comes our way. We literally are bigger than it, because greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So many times we don't realize that fear, that worry, that doubt. You know what it connects you to? Death. It's death. What's death? That's failure. That's things not succeeding. That's things going off the rails. That's things going wrong. We don't want to go that direction. And we don't do that. And we're going to walk by faith. Not because we don't want the bad. But because God said this is the way. And this is the way of righteousness. And this hooks us to him. That is the that's our covenant. It hooks. It brings all that there is in heaven to us. That faith. We need to walk in confidence that that faith works. So when we go step into a situation and you go, I got this. Because it's a me and him thing. And whatever I put my foot, he's giving it to me. There are people facing tough things in this room. But I have to ask you, is anything too hard for the Lord? I know that was a rhetorical question. But answer it truthfully to yourself, honestly. Because if you're struggling with that, you need to go before God. Be honest with him about it. You know, the Holy Spirit is here to help us with this process. In John 16, Yeah. Got a smart aleck in the bunch here.
You have several.
Yeah, that's true. Well, it's John 16, verse 7 through 11. And I'll just summarize it. I thought I had the scripture written down, but I don't. Here's the deal. It says the Holy Spirit's going to be sent when Jesus goes away. And he's been sent. So that's an indication that Jesus is Lord. And he says when he was sent, he's coming into this world to do one thing, very important thing in that scripture. That is to convict. Another word for that is convince. The Holy Spirit is to convince us of the truth. That's his job. And if you look up that Greek word, and I'm not going to try to pronounce it either. But that Greek word, convict, means to refute, to prove something to be wrong, to find fault with, to correct by word, to reprehend severely, chide, admonish, reprove, by deed, by chastening, and by punishment. Here's the bottom line on that. He's not going to come. The Holy Spirit's coming and is here. He's working in us. And he doesn't only show you what the truth is. He's showing the lies that you believe also. Because, you know, a lot of times what keeps us from the truth is a lie. It's something that we've believed all our lives that's really a lie. It has no truth in it whatsoever, but we believe it. And unless God shows us it's a lie, we can't see what the truth is. It is a type of wrestling sometimes with God, because you have to wrestle with him. There's things that he says that you kind of go, wow, I like that, but I'm not sure I'm ready to, you know, hang on to it. But you got to wrestle with it. And the Holy Spirit's going to wrestle with you on this. You're going to go back and forth. And at the end of the day, you're going to be walking in faith and in victory. Because that is the way truth is. That's the way when you're walking in faith, it always is liberty. It's liberty. It's peace. It's joy. It's wholeness. It's hope. So many times in that process where we're having that formed in us by the Holy Spirit working within us, we say that's enough. I'm just asking you, don't give up. I know me personally, there's many times I thought, man, I just want to quit. I mean, I got sick in 2013, and I didn't get better until 16. So it was like 3.5 years that I was sick, and the doctors didn't know anything. And I wanted to give up at times. I just wanted to say, that's it. It's not going to ever get better. But I had something on the inside of me that said, that's not true. I got to hang on. I'm hanging on to more than that on the inside of me. You have a testimony on the inside of you that God's going to get you through whatever it is. You need to hang on to it. You need to go before God and talk about all your objections to it so that he can show you the foolishness of them. Because only then do you walk that, you step out and you go, okay, I'm good. I can rest now. It's settled. It's settled. We want to live in that place. Because when you're in that place, the world can't touch you.
It's true.
The devil comes knocking and you go, oh, it's you.
Yep.
There is a story about Martin Luther, the reformer, that is. And he was laying in his bed asleep. And he felt something and it woke him up in the middle of the night. And he looked at the foot of his bed and it was Satan. He goes, oh, you. Turn around and go back to sleep. Whether true or not, but it's an interesting story. I'm just saying to you, faith can do so many things. What's the one about it? Faith is of a size of a mustard seed. Can do what? Move mountains. And I've heard people say he didn't mean literal. I think he did. But you could also talk about whatever mountain is in your life that has to move. And the truth is, he's not asking you to do something he hasn't already given you faith to do. He hasn't already given you something on the inside of you that equips you to do that and overcome. We are well able because of him. And he has put enough in us to do whatever we're supposed to do next. All we've got to do is step out. Remember the Indiana Jones? And there was a, he's talking, I think it's the one with the Holy Grail. And there's a part where he's got to go through these different traps to find to where he gets to where the Holy Grail is. But there's one of them. He steps out, and it's like this valley, this just great divide between this mountain and that mountain, and it's just going straight down. And the word of that was, the clue was, you had to step out with a leap of faith. And he comes out and does this, expecting to fall. But really, the ledge was there. He just didn't see it. It's hidden. It meshes in right into the other wall in the front of the hill. That's not the hill, but the side of the mountain. It just fades in. He couldn't see it, but you had to step out there to know it's there. There's a lot of that to the truth here. A lot of us, we need to just go ahead and just step out. You know you need to do something. You just don't see the whole picture, but you do see the next step. And you know that it's right. And you know it's true. You just don't see the next step, so you don't want to do anything until you see the whole picture. And you're waiting to see everything, and you're never going to see it. I just want to have to be honest with you. You're not going to see it until you take that step. Because that's faith. And the truth is, a lot of us won't see it all, but the truth is this. If we saw it all, we might choke by it. We might be going, wow, I don't know about this. This is too big. This is too much. God does meet us where we are. And he takes us higher. He really does. Let's look at I want to kind of take us through an example here. Mark 11:20. And I'm just going to read through something, a little story, so I don't mess it up. I'm going to read it. Starting in verse 12 through 14, and then I'll skip down to 20 through 24. Now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find something on it. But when he came to it, he found that nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. In response, Jesus said to it, "Let no one eat fruit from this tree ever again." Well, time goes, and they come back. And now the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry, and seeing from afar the fig tree leaves, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, "Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." Jesus answered him and said to him, If you have the faith of God, for surely I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. We saw an example. You know, we have the name of Jesus. I don't know if you've ever been taught on that or not, but we do. We have the ability to say things in the name of Jesus. You'll probably hear about it tomorrow night on Monday. But the name of Jesus has something in it. We have a legal right before God to use it. Jesus is Jesus, so he's just, when he speaks, it is. We have authority. And when we believe that authority and trust in that authority, we can say things and they happen. And I've seen this work in other ways. I've seen people who are so convinced of something terrible is going to happen, And they'll confess it, and it will happen. I know someone who was completely healthy, but they were so determined there was something wrong with them. And for years, they went to the doctor, had test after test, and nothing was there. And it was about 2 years afterwards, they finally got a bad test. And the whole time, this person was saying, I know I got something wrong with me. I know I got it. They've actually just brought it back in the negative. It happened because they confessed it, believed it, and it brought it in. So this happens in the negative. But we're not of them, are we? We're not those people. We're not going to be those people. We're not going to let our words come out of our mouth. We're not going to constantly confess over our lives all these negative things, are we? Because we're not going to walk in fear and worry. We're going to walk in faith. Because we're a people of faith. We've been given faith from God. So we're going to walk and live by that. We're going to believe it right here, aren't we? We're going to hold on to what God has spoken to us. We're going to hold on to it. We're going to nurture it. And we're going to let it fill up our heart, and we're going to declare it out of our mouths. Not as something like, I'm going to make this happen. I'm just going to declare it because it is. It's a normal way of talking. If you really believe something, you don't have to make yourself say it. You're just saying it. You will talk it out loud. You ever run into somebody that got a favorite hobby? Maybe it's watching football or something else. And they can just talk and talk and talk about it. They love cars and classic cars or something. They'll talk and talk and talk about it. Because as they've sat there and they've looked at it and they think about it all the time and it just comes out of their mouth normally. We need to be so immersed in His Word and so immersed in who God is that He just comes falling out of our mouth. That's faith. And it changes things. It moves mountains. Got a woman that had an issue with the flow of blood. It was in, so you know where I'm talking from. Mark 5, 21 through 43. Jairus, this religious leader. Actually had a, I mean, this is something amazing. Jairus, I can't pronounce his name, so I'm not going to try to butcher it. But I could say an hour before I came here, but not now.
Jairus'
funny,
daughter.
Jairus, yeah.
Jairus' daughter.
It's amazing how your tongue gets tied. But he came asking for his daughter because she was deathly ill. And he said, I'll go with you. And on the way, this woman who had heard of Jesus, had heard about the miracles, she said aside, I just know if I could just touch his heel, I'll be made whole. If I just can do this one thing. She really believed it on the inside of her. So she pushes through a crowd of people where everybody's just around Jesus and touches the hem of his garment. And immediately she's home. Jesus stops and says, who touched me? I mean, the disciples thought that was ludicrous. Look at all these people. They're touching you. But he asked, who touched me? Because there was only one person that touched him in faith. One person that touched him in faith. That one person got a miracle. They got the present tense kingdom of God. That one person. All these other people had needs. They were touching Jesus. They didn't get it. She did. She believed that she just could touch that hem. What do you believe if you do, everything will be all right? What is it that you think? If I could just do this, things would get better. What is it that you have? See, it was interesting to me. This woman didn't have a God say to her, "Now, you just touch the hem of my son and you'll be made well." She set the conditions. She said, "I know if I could just touch his hem, I'll be made whole." She didn't have a direct word that says, "I need to go touch that. If I do that, it'll happen." She just knew this man was anointed. She just knew that this man had the power. And she knew that she could touch him, she'd be made whole. See, God works with us. He works with us. She set the conditions. And at that moment, this person comes up and says, "Don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter has died." And his first words were what? "Don't fear. She's not dead." Well, paraphrase. His first thing is only believe. Don't fear, only believe. I say to you tonight, whatever's facing you, don't doubt, believe. Don't let that thing intimidate you. Don't let it push you around. Because the God you're attached to by that faith is greater than anything coming after you.
Come on. It's true.
We are way too afraid of what's going on and what's coming after us. We're way too impressed with what the devil's doing, and we miss the greatness of our God.
Yep.
We can't see God because all we can see is what the devil's doing. I've heard testimonies that people would get up and give, and they spend more time praising the devil than they did the God who delivered them.
Yep.
We have a God who is able. And I'm tired of being intimidated. And I don't think I'm the only one who's tired of being afraid. The only one that's wanting to say no more. Because I've got a God who says he's on my side and I'm connected to by faith, and this thing's going down.
Come on.
It's going down. It ain't even a close call. He says he's made us more than a conqueror, has he not?
Yep.
He didn't make you a conqueror, he made you more than one. That means it's no contest. This isn't a close call. But we're acting like it is. And if that's even, we're thinking that it might happen. A lot of times we don't really get it, that God's just so much more. This isn't even a fair fight. And we think that the devil, look at how this is doing out there in the world. He's just running it. Well, where are the people walking by faith that have attached themselves to the living God, who are walking in authority and power, that have overcome all of that they are facing, that can rise up and go truly say, "That doesn't rain no more"? It doesn't get to tell me what is what anymore. We're not the people that draw back into destruction. We are the ones who stand up and win.
Yep.
Jesus has promised that wherever he leads us to triumph, always in Christ Jesus. Not sometimes, always. So wherever we go, we ought to expect to win.
Yep, come on.
I'm tired of us stepping out to see if it might work. Unbelief and doubt show up in the strangest ways. Why are we stepping out to see if something might work? When we have the living God on our side, And we are busy doing His job, that through His Spirit, by His anointing, lit on fire by Him. Why would we think it wouldn't work? That's the question I want to ask. Not why would it work, why wouldn't it work? Why would we fail if we are attached to Him? We have a covenant with the living God. Why would we fail? We're not in the place of failure trying to see why we should win. We're in the place of victory. So why shouldn't we win?
That's right.
And by faith, we are attached to that victory. By faith, we take hold of victory. Because that's the gospel. We had His victory over sin and death. His victory over depression. His victory over sickness and disease. Poverty and lack. We are those people. We don't need to ask why we should have. Question is, why shouldn't we? It's amazing when the devil has to come up with a reason to say to you why you shouldn't have what God gave you, instead of you answering him, why should I? He doesn't have that kind of answer, because the word stands in his face. The blood is right there. He can't answer it, because Jesus made the way.
Yep.
By faith. We live by faith. We conquer our troubles by faith in Him. We do things that shouldn't be done, that people can't do, because we are doing it by faith. We walk through water on dry land where everybody else is drowning. There was a time, I'm not sure if it was Isaac, I think, but don't hold me to that. But they were in a famine. And he asked God, should I go down to Egypt? And he said, no, stay there. He prospered in a desert. He prospered in a drought. Because wherever God plants us, we prosper. Wherever God has us, we stand. We just got to walk by faith. We got to walk by faith. I'm going to read a couple of Smith Wigglesworth quotes, as he was called the Apostle of Faith. When faith lays hold, impossibilities must yield. When faith lays hold, impossibilities must yield. Another quote. There is nothing impossible with God. All the impossibilities is with us when we measure God by our limitations of our unbelief. I'm going to leave it with this. We have a great God who is able. And he said, believe me and have faith in me and use that faith I give you. And we are going to do great things. My hope is tonight that we walk away renewed and knowing that that faith that's inside of every one of us is valuable, should be trusted, nurtured, cared for, guarded. And we need to just stand on it. It's a firm foundation to stand on. There's all that says that if without faith, it's impossible to please God. And we are able to walk by faith.
We are.
Because in Christ, we can do all things. We are able to walk by faith to His glory. Father, thank you so much. That we don't have to live in fear and doubt and unbelief. That you've given us a way to live in boldness, power, and strength and faith, rest, peace, hope, not an empty hope. I thank you that you've given us the greater one on the inside of us to work in us your will and your good pleasure. And I thank you that we can trust you will not fail in us. And I thank you, Lord, you're going to work in us as we go forth, stepping out and living by what you've given us to live by. Amen and amen.